His work has been banned, burned, and blacklisted. He survived talk show ambushes, protest marches, and death threats. And now Todd Sheets has let him loose on Jackalope Radio. Get ready, because whether you like it or not, you're about to have a heart attack.
Read my lips, I don't care what you say.
Howdy, 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 motherfuckers. You are listening to Heart D. Fisher, and this is Heart Attack. With me is Josh Hadley, and I'm moving a little slow today. I'm floating a little nicer.
You're not the only one, man. You're not the only one.
Yeah, Josh has got some horrendous, what do you got, allergies or something, dude?
My allergies have been kicking the living shit out of me today, man.
Well, my issue's not that bad. My time at the chiropractor was so tough that I'm floating on air and I fell asleep before the show and I'm trying to wake up.
Coffee enema will do that.
Yeah, but they're not that much fun. It's a lot more fun to drink the coffee than to get the coffee enema. You know, that's actually an anti-cancer treatment.
I did not know that. I was just making a joke.
No, it actually is a serious anti-cancer thing that a doctor pushes forth. You learn a lot of interesting things when your wife survives cancer, let me tell you. And that's kind of what's been on my mind for the week, you know. My life was completely changed back in 2006, and it's been about, you know, it's 7 years now since my wife had her diagnosis of cancer, and she went through all the chemo, and she went through all this stuff that just, you know, she nearly fucking died. So this is kind of our seventh anniversary since the diagnosis of cancer. And after 8 hours of surgery with her gut spread out on the table, 4 cycles of chemotherapy, 28 doses of radiation therapy, and all on online attack on us from a fucking rock star asshole's fans for the work that he plagiarized. And she's still cancer free to this day. If she had stayed in America and had stayed under American medical care, I'm very certain my wife would be dead to this day. She would not. We would not be celebrating at all. I had to get her on a plane and get her back to Japan to get real good health care. It's really difficult to get good health care in this country anymore. She spent 3 months in the fucking hospital. Here, they rip you open, gut you, then tell your fucking codependent how to clean your wounds, and they send you back home. I mean, it's really fucked up. So I'm happy to have her, and that's kind of what's been on my mind. I'm very grateful that she's still here.
And every time I've spoken to her, she's very energetic and up and chipper about it, too.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, a lot of people that we know have died of cancer since that time. A lot of people we know that were diagnosed at the same time she was. What we saw was that cancer was a wake-up call. It was a real wake-up call that you had to make real fucking changes in your life. It's not just a matter of, oh, I've got cancer because I was eating the wrong kind of jelly beans every day. No, it's a big deal. Cancer is a rot of your soul and of your body. It's both. And her doctors in Japan made a big deal about stress and how important it was that I had to remove all stress from her life. And they really made a point to me that, Heart, you got to be selfish. You got to be brutal. Her cancer was a very rare, aggressive kind of cervical cancer. And it was brutal. And it wasn't your normal kind. And it had a 50-50 shot of coming back in 5 years. And, you know, 50-50 odds suck a dick. Those are shitty odds for somebody to tell you, hey, build your life on 50-50 odds.
Let's look at it like this. It's been 7 years since the diagnosis, and it hasn't come back.
Well, the point I'm trying to make about that is I've made massive changes in my life. I found out that my inner circle, the guys that I thought were my best friends, turned out to be my worst enemies, and they were the biggest parasites in my life. And I realized that it wasn't just the disease of my wife. It was an issue involving our life, the two of us together. So I got rid of a lot of people, dude, flat out. I got rid of people that made me feel shitty, that made her feel shitty, that treated us shitty. And it didn't matter if they were friends of 20 years. You think like, oh, this guy's my pal. I've been friends with him for 20 years, my buddy. But he's been fucking you for 20 years. So is that guy really a good friend of yours? Or is that just a parasite you've had on your hound for 20 years? And I had to get rid of a lot of people like that. And as Waka's gotten better, it's been kind of stunning because there are people in your life that they don't want you to change. They want you to stay who you are. As I use this show to try to make changes in the country that I love here in America, that's a big part of it, is we all have this opportunity to make changes. All this stuff that we talk about on the air can be changed. There's nothing's written in stone. None of the horrible stuff we talk about has to be. None of it has to happen. Nothing is written. Nothing is written. You know, and that's the key. They gave her 50-50 odds. Well, we kicked those odds ass. Not only is she sound, you know, fresh, and she's fun. She's finally back to herself and has come a long way, because it was a complete hysterectomy. And so there was a lot of issues to deal with in her hair and her health care. And I was her sole provider of health care. There wasn't anybody else. Our inner circle kind of crumbled. People we thought were really great friends turned out to be assholes. And it was a real eye opener. And I would say to America, we got some cancer here, some serious cancer, and it's being masquerading as security issues, and it's not. It's control freak issues, and whether it's them trying to control whether or not you can say fag or cunt or whatever word you want to use, or whether they're trying to tell you can't make this Facebook post because it's a thought crime and we're going to put you in our private prison because my buddy needs to make some money, and it can all be changed. Every one of these things can be changed. Me and my wife did it. You guys can do it too. I'm not a miracle worker. I'm not fucking that much. You know, I work hard and I'm a hard charging dude, but I'm still a human being and I still got to eat like everybody else. I still shit like everybody else. I still bleed like everybody else. And you guys can do it. As you listen to this show, you can make a change in your life. You can get rid of the cancer in the hard look around you. It's pretty important. It's something that Josh and I talk privately, you know, about Josh and what's going on in his life. He's got a lot of stress and he's got some health stuff that's been happening with his wife. You should really think about why they're in your life. You should really be taking arc as it is. It's hopeful.
I like to think that. I like to think that we try to make a difference, but I'm not sure how much we can do. It's how much our listeners can do that will make the difference. Does that make sense?
Well, it's both. It's both. That's why I got off my ass and I got involved in my local politics. I have made a difference in my backyard, guys. I have gotten active in my local politics. I've gotten to have relationships with my local business leaders. We won. We've been kicking ass, guys. We've been out there kicking butt. We've been exposing the scumbags here in Los Angeles, my team and the people that I have put together and have gotten them talking to each other. And that's a big thing, is it's about communicating and about getting across. Well, what's your goal here? What are we trying to achieve here? And not get caught up in bullshit, you know, not get caught up in BS. Like, let's talk about transgender rights. Fuck that bullshit. Let's talk about our rights, like everybody's rights. Why do you always got to knock it down to like one label or one safe thing? And they're trying to get us to argue about gay marriage. They want us to argue about bullshit, okay? And seriously, the changes that they are making on being able to spy on people and the changes that they are making about how they handle law enforcement affect all of us far, far more than whether or not two guys can go get married. And hey, I support it. They should be able to get married. Gay guys are gay. And this stuff that's going down in Russia, where Russia is like discussing homosexuality, really makes me wonder, what are they hiding in Russia? What are they doing that they want you to ignore? What is going down? And it might have something to do with all this Snowden shit. You know, he filed for asylum over in Russia, and now what's his name? Our president has decided he's not going to make a trip out to Russia, and they're saying it's about Snowden. But you know what, guys? You got real problems that have nothing to do with Snowden. You got real problems right here in this country, because our country's getting bought out from under us as we talk. As I talk about cancer, the thing that we're going to get into next real quick after we take a really quick break is we're going to talk about how it's not just about the NSA spying on you, but it's about the NSA spying on you and then their buddies using their money to pay off politicians. So we're going to go burn one down, and then we'll be right back. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Heart Attack. I am Hart D. Fisher. With me is Mr. Wheezy Josh Hadley.
Indeed.
Yeah, exactly. And we have been chit-chatting a little bit about cancer and how the changes I had to make in my life to keep my wife alive. You know, she's very important to me. When you are in a relationship, you never want to be married to somebody where you're like, my wife won't let me do this. My wife won't let me do that. Oh, my wife is calling now. You know what? I fucking love my wife to death. And I spend a lot of time thinking about what's going to make her happy, what's going to make her smile, because that is how we've kept the cancer away. I spent a lot of time trying to figure out how can I make her happy and how can I keep people that make her feel like shit as far away from her as possible. And guys, you need to be looking like this at your ladies too, because we got real problems with our interpersonal relationships in this fucking country. And ladies, you got to remember, you've forgotten that dude that you're belittling nonstop. That's your partner. That's the guy you're supposed to have a family with. Guys, when you're out with your buddies and you're talking about your bitch wife, hey, that's your fucking wife. That's the mother of your children there, motherfucker. Have a little bit of respect. You guys got to take care of each other. We got to start taking care of each other. We got to work together. My wife works with me at American Horrors. And if you didn't know, she does a lot of the scheduling. When we say, we own a horror channel, it's not like the fucking programs just pick themselves to go on the air. Like Josh, he's giving me suggestions all the time, right?
Yeah, you don't take all of them, but you at least listen to them.
Yeah, so Josh is, you know, giving me ideas of what to play. Other people are, and Waka does a lot of the scheduling, like the nuts and bolts, and Waka does a lot of the editing here. And she helps me stay on the straight and narrow with keeping my focus in the right direction. She's been a really good partner, and that's what we have to remember is, you know, we're in this together, guys, and we complain about cops. Those are citizens in our society. When we talk about these NSA spy dudes, hey, NSA spy dudes, you're supposed to be working for us, guys. We're working together. It's America. Americans. Americans working together. Get it? That's what this is really about. As I thought about what's gone down with my wife and what we had to do, you know, I got rid of people in my life, Josh. I fucking cut them loose, and I still do. There's people right now that are like, I don't know why I got cut from Hart's Facebook, even though so-and-so, I did such-and-such, and I treated him such-and-such. Well, guess what? I don't put up with shit no more. Nothing, because it might kill my fucking wife. And that's how I live my life. I try to do things that I'm proud of. I try to laugh and have a good time as we've done our battles here in LA, and we've gone to these fucking neighborhood council meetings. Such a joke, man. The political process is so fucking bought off. I mean, I'm sitting here looking at an article that's all about, they did an analysis of the vote on defunding the NASA Dragnet spying, and they found out that pro-NSA congressional voters received more than twice the defense industry campaign contributions than their anti-NSA counterparts. So let me make that in plain words for you guys. The defense industry spent $12.97 million during the last election cycle to put their guy in that office to make the laws that they want passed so they make their money. All right. And they're against any kind of reining in their power. These dudes, it's a nonstop power grab. But I want you to think about that. Corporations can now make unlimited campaign contributions. Private business is getting a great deal of this NSA spying money. It's not like there's a James Bond guy in the Pentagon spying on you and your Facebook. It's your fucking next door neighbor's deadbeat kid who got a shitty fucking degree in political science and couldn't find a fucking job, so he's working on something like Rubicon. You get me? And they're playing us off against each other. They're getting us to fight with each other. And we got to come together as a people. When I look at these romantic comedies, they make me fucking sick. It's nonstop castration of the modern American male. I mean, come on, Josh. When you see these, like you talk about that spy movie where you got two spies using all their spy shit to try to get the vagina, but they're still kind of ballless wonders, aren't they, Josh?
They're sort of this modern, and I'm not so sure if I blame the 80s for this, but this is when I saw it. Remember that Alan Alda-style sensitive male that really started to emerge in the 80s, that metrosexual, I think is the current word that they use for it, that, well, you know, I'm not really a man. I'm masculine, but I'm the masculine feminist, the character Jerry Springer played on Married with Children, remember? Shit like that.
Yeah, I tell you, man, guys who are listening to this, you young dudes, all the young dudes, you're pussies. Do you know what a bunch of screaming, crying pussies you guys sound like to me? You be happy, then help her be happy. You get me? You got to man up, guys. When I'm in a meeting and I'm sitting here and I'm editing with somebody and I'm working on a job and his fucking vagina calls him for the 8th fucking time in our 3-hour session and you answer that call? You are showing me and everybody else what a ballless, dickless fucking wonder you are, because your fucking vagina knows exactly where you are. You're working. And you know what? That's my time, too. When you're in a meeting with somebody and you're on that goddamn texting bullshit with some fucking vagina, you're wasting my time. And I don't take you serious no more. I don't take you seriously. How are you going to handle my business if you can't even take care of your fucking vagina? You guys out in this fucking world don't even know what it means to take care of a woman. Like, really, honestly, take care of a woman who's got to deal with issues that are fucking heavy. Because you know what? You're going to deal with it when you get a little older and you've got that wife and you've got that kid and you can't afford your fucking smartphone anymore. Yeah, reality comes crashing in. And it's going to be time for you to act like a fucking man. This is a big part of my stand up and make changes. You know, my wife wants me to be a man. She doesn't spend all day castrating me. She wants me to be a man. She wants me to be a strong man. She wants me to be a good man that she can be proud she's married to. And that's a big part of our relationship is I try to do things that I'm proud of. I try to avoid things that are going to bring me shame. And if you think you're going to shame me because I said the word cunt, oh, no, he said cunt. And look out, I'm going to use the N-word. Oh, no, Josh Runout. Somebody said nigger. Nigger. Oh, no, they said nigger. Well, you know what? That's all about getting you to fight over a word while they take away your rights. All these guys who go online and they talk about these words, I'd love to see them fight for people's voting rights that are getting crushed right now. If you're concerned about the word nigger, how come you're not out there protesting all these new laws that are happening in states across the country that are going to make it really hard for our fellow black Americans and fellow poor Americans and even some of the elderly to vote because they don't have the proper IDs. They've shown in the studies that these low, you know, these minorities don't have the same kind of identifications we do in their cultures. If you're in a poor community in the city in New York, there's not going to be as many people with driver's license. They just don't have cars like we do in LA. So they're not going to have the ID that they want them to have. It's a trick. They're tricking you. They're playing us all off against each other. We got to partner up. We got to find out what works with the people we're working with. I mean, do you guys really think it's that easy for Josh to fucking put up with me and deal with me? I'm not the most on-time guy. He really helps work to make this work. And part of it works because I'm on the air giving him the fucking strokes and his proper credit where credit is fucking due. That's a big part of it. Give him credit where credit is due. We have got to get our shit together. We have got to get our partnerships together. I wouldn't be on the air right now without Josh. But what I'm saying here is the partnership worked and that Josh has worked so that me and him can do this together. I have worked so that we could do this together, and we're struggling to make the show better every episode. That's the game, is to make it better every show. That's what I'm trying to do here, and I'm hard on myself. Like, we got bought. We got had, guys, you know. We talked a lot about a van full of jazz players that got shot up during the mad cop hunt in L.A., and it turns out there was no van full of jazz players shot up. We got had. We got caught.
Now, I'm gonna defend myself just a tad, okay? I'm not trying to pass the buck.
Was that you that sent me that story?
It was, because I read it. If you go back and find the original story, I sent it to you from the LA Times. They got too. So I assumed I read it on the LA Times, which is a relatively reputable website. So I didn't think I needed to investigate it further because LA Times. And yeah, we got. So that's my only defense is it sounded real. And that's part of the problem. Hart, this next thing, I'm not insulting the satire people, okay?
No, it's because, fucking
but it's
hilarious.
Sad. But Hart, it's sad that they can write satire that sounds so real you don't even notice it's satire. Isn't it?
Dude, L.A. is fucking so cowboy. The cops here are so fucking cowboy. It's so Wild Wild West out here. I mean, we got one officer back in the 90s, and he was involved with they thought he might have been involved with the Tupac Shakur or the Biggie Smalls murder. And this was a cop who was robbing banks and going to Vegas and spending his bank money in Vegas. Or this is another one of my favorites, is two cops. An undercover cop and an off-duty cop got into a gunfight with each other in the middle of traffic over a road rage incident in the valley.
There was one just here in Wisconsin, outside of Green Bay. A cop was burglarizing homes in his off hours, and there was a manhunt for another cop.
Yeah, yeah, there's that one, and then there's also, what was that thing in Detroit where there was a guy that they thought was a fake cop or robbing people, and this just, and they turned out it was a real cop.
Yeah, it was a real cop who was on his off hours, you know, he'd have the light in his car, and he would just pull people over, rob them, and then literally go and put on his police uniform and go do a shift.
Oh my God, man. Yeah, it's funny that it's so crazy that it seems like it could be real, but isn't that the way of the way of the land, you know? I mean, dude, it's a wild, wild world.
Yeah, so the Dorner thing, that one, the other stuff we talked about with Dorner, that I can back up as factual. Just the jazz musicians, that one we got, but I don't know if this is good or bad. I don't feel as bad because we weren't the only ones that got.
Yeah, yeah, you know, and it's kind of funny because this next thing is something that I've been wondering about. We keep talking about why it's important to be on top of this NSA spying on us. And in America, you're supposed to be able to get a fair trial. And what a fair trial means is you are considered not guilty. You're not guilty until they prove it, okay? This notion that they're already seizing people's property or they're freezing their assets, and they haven't even gone to trial. They haven't been convicted yet. And the thing that really stuns me that no one's talking about with this NSA snooping, and I keep mentioning it, and now we have an article that talks about it, is they're going to use all of this illegal snooping stuff to go after anybody they please. And what we're finding now is that police officers and prosecutions are going down in which the National Security Agency has been collecting domestic phone records, and they're going through it to try to find, they say it's towards stopping terrorists, but it really seems that what they're doing is they're going after common criminals. They're going after drug dealers. They're going after drug mules. They're going after regular crime, and they're lying about their sources. Okay. And the idea is when you are going to mount a defense in a court of law, you are supposed to be provided with all the facts against you so that you can answer them. Now, if there's secret illegal wiretapping on you, how the fuck can you answer any of these allegations if you don't know where they're coming from? You understand me, Josh?
Exactly. What it comes down to is the prosecution or the police, they have an unfair advantage. Because, first of all, what says you even committed the crime? They just say, well, we heard on the wiretap or whatnot that you committed this crime. You don't even know whether you actually might have committed the crime. How are you supposed to defend against that?
You got to remember, they're using... It's all secret now, and that's anti-American. You know, that's against what we do in our court system. Our court system is meant to be open so that we can never have a king come and tyrannize us. The idea that we have a free and open society to worship whatever religion that we feel free is so that you can't have an installed church system that just dominates you. And so now we have a secret police that is spying on every human being in the country and listening in, and they're giving this information to prosecutors and telling them to lie about it. okay? It's called a Special Operations Division, or SOD, and there's 24 partner agencies that comprise the unit, including the FBI, the CIA, the NSA, the IRS, Department of fucking Homeland Security, and it was created to combat Latin American drug cartels, and it's grown from, you know, a couple dozen employees to hundreds, okay? Their work is classified, and so they tell, flat out, they tell the prosecutors, the utilization of SOD cannot be revealed or discussed in any investigative function. The documents that were presented to the agents and to this reporter from affidavits, discussions with prosecutors, and courtroom testimony. Well, what that means is you've now set up a phony trial. It's a phony trial. And they're saying, oh, well, you got to parallel the investigative trail. That's what they're telling these prosecutors. You're going to recreate the investigative trail for the court so that it'll be legal. And this is happening daily, guys. So in our country, where they're trying to privatize prisons, they're secret information being used to send Americans to these private prisons so other people make money.
Yeah, I believe, isn't that called fruit of the poisonous tree, that even if what a prosecutor might obtain shows you to be guilty, if they obtained it illegally, it cannot be used, nor any more evidence that was found due to that information, that the poisonous tree kills all the fruit. All around it, everything.
You're getting a little highbrow. Some of our people listening are a little bit more lowbrow, and they went to a public school.
I'm sorry. I watched every episode of The Practice, damn it.
If you have a person in a trial, and you, let's say if you find the fucking murder weapon, and you find the murder weapon, but you got the murder weapon illegally, it is inadmissible in court. It means that it doesn't exist. You can't. And it's, we've seen it a million times in cop shows. And what do you mean I put the wrong color of the house on the arrest warrant? You know, shit like that. But this is way off the hook, man. They're giving them secret spy information from our super duper spy agencies, telling the prosecutors to lie about it and recreate a phony investigation so they could use the illegal information. And they're admitting that this is being done on a daily basis.
But also, Hart, in court, you have the right to face your accuser.
That's
so
right.
If your accuser is the NSA or whoever made the illegal wiretap, you can't face them. So that right there should, if you go by the word of the law, get the prosecution against you quashed.
Mm-hmm. So what they're doing is they call this parallel construction of their legal investigation, right? It's an illegal investigation that they try to legally recreate, which means they're lying in fucking court all the time. And they're employing practice as a means of disguising how an investigation began. That violates pretrial discovery rules by burying evidence that could prove useful. Remember this, guys. You are innocent until they prove you're fucking guilty. I don't care if they arrested OJ. I don't care. He's innocent. Innocent. Court of law found him innocent. But now they're gaming the system so they could put anybody in jail. They'll just make it up. I mean, if you're using illegal spy stuff with NSA shit, dude, they could take our fucking radio show and cut any conversation together they want.
They could take, and we have said so many things, they could fabricate something against us. That's a very real possibility, and that's not paranoia.
It's real, man. It's happening. We already know about a judge who's gone to jail for taking bribery, for funneling 12-year-old boys and children of other ages like that to private prisons. They've privatized the prison system. So what they've done is they're making it profitable to put people in jail. When there's no jobs in America, you're going to make the money any way you can. You're going to game the system. And that's what's happening. The system is being fucking gamed to death. So we're talking and talking and talking. Nope.
There's one right there. I just lost you again. I don't know what the hell's going on.
Let's keep this recorded. I'm actually getting kind of fucking pissed here. We switched to Skype because I couldn't record this shit on the fucking Time Warner phone, and now we're getting all these dropouts on fucking Skype. As soon as we start talking about all the dummy up an investigation and dummy up a case on anybody, because as a filmmaker, I'm a filmmaker, and as an editor who edits movies together, they can take anything we've said on the radio and cut together any conversation they want, give that to a prosecutor, lie about where it came from, boom, you've got a phony fucking prosecution. On that goddamn note, I'm going to go take a piss and feel like I'm pissing on some asshole's face.
Hey, you guys, Hart D. Fisher for American Horrors and Heart Attack here, and I just wanted to drop you a little note that you guys should be drinking Hydra Blue. Now, what the hell is Hydra Blue? Well, it's naturally energized spring water. What the hell does that mean? It means it's high-frequency water, guys. When you've got a shark and it can smell blood for miles in the ocean, it doesn't really smell blood. It picks up on the frequency of the blood. The frequency of the blood. You understand? So here we are, and we have our water that mostly comes to us through our faucet. And well, frankly, that's low-energy water. That's water that's mostly dead and chemically treated and messed up and just normally not very good for you. But me, I'm doing something better. I'm drinking Hydra Blue, and now you guys can too. I've been drinking this stuff for almost a year now, and it's really helped me to feel good. I really enjoy being hydrated, it's helped me get off the coffee, and I got a lot more energy. Now, if you want to get some, you can get it at www.hydrablue.com. And if you use the code word horror, you're going to get 15% off. That's right. Use the code word horror at hydrablue.com, and you're going to get 15% off your order. But better than that, when you start drinking this water, I think you're going to feel a little better. I think you're going to be a little bit more hydrated. I think you might even find you've got enough energy to put down that damn energy drink and just drink some old-fashioned Hydra Blue. And that's my message from Hart and Heart Attack. But it's not always about selling you guys stuff. Sometimes I just want to give a shout out to somebody I really like or does really great stuff. And if you're an MMA fan, you need to check out Gokor at Gokor.com. Gokor Chavichian is an amazing martial artist who's one of the leading minds in the MMA frontier. This guy has the best instructional tapes. He's a good friend of mine. I've trained with him for over 10 years. An amazing man. Go to Gokor.com today. Check it out. Get some instructional videos. Get yourself some literature and learn how to destroy human beings the right way at Gokor.com.
Yeah.
Legendary horror creator, Hart D. Fisher. American Horrors is the world's greatest uncut horror channel. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, American Horrors brings you nothing but the bloody best in uncut horror. Watch free, worldwide, only at filmon.com. This July, on American Horrors, catch new Bleeding Edge Horror by Tony Natoli, Annette Martinez, Johnny Dickey, Patrick O'Bell, plus new episodes of Gut Munching Zombie Series 813, and the best damn horror movie review show, Fright Asylum. Watch American Horrors now on FilmOn.com.
Welcome back to Heart Attack. I'm Hart D. Fisher, and you know what's funny? As we're recording this, and as soon as we really start getting deep into this NSA using their illegally gotten information that they're illegally spying on Americans, and they are legally using it to prosecute Americans in normal, average criminal cases, and they're lying about it in court. So when you listen to this, we're a little confused over here because I stopped recording Heart Attack over the phone, over a Time Warner landline, because as we started doing the show and getting more politically involved, we had the quality of my phone reception was going down. Now, I shouldn't even use the word reception because it was a landline, and it got to the point where we could not even use it anymore to record the show. So here we are now recording on Skype, and within 5 minutes, I shit you not, within 5 minutes of us discussing how they are legally using this wiretapping information to game the system, all of a sudden we can't record the show. And we were getting ready to transfer back over to a different like phone line or something. I mean, damn, what the fuck? Is that happened to you recording other shows with other people, Josh?
Not recording. Every now and then if I'm just, you know, talking to Alex at Geek Juice or something, that'll happen. But not recording like that. And if it recorded properly, this is what we heard, or this is what I heard on my end. Hart, can you hear me? Hart, you are just bleep.
So you guys can hear, that's pretty fucking weird, this issue, and it happening within 5 minutes of us talking about the NSA using their illegal wiretapping procedures on regular Americans, and we're having problems nonstop. I mean, Josh, you know, somebody stole the registration off my car this weekend, and my speedometer isn't working again. All of a sudden, this weekend, I find out because I was at the movies. I got a ticket for not having the registration tag. Somebody had ripped them off my car. Yeah, that kind of I've replaced the tags, you know, and the weird thing too is at the same time, all of a sudden my speedometer's not working again. And also, somebody had been trying to hack into our web mistress. Somebody was trying to hack into our email this weekend.
We're drawing attention from people that were pissing the fuck off. I mean, look at how many times my website's been hacked. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's true. We've been hacked off the air a couple of times now. It's definitely happened. I know that's an issue that's happened, too, with Alki David over at filmon.com. That's a real issue for them, is keeping an eye on their streams, on making sure their streams aren't getting pirated and stuff. It's weird, man. It could really make you fucking paranoid as hell, especially when the first thing my wife thought was, it's probably one of these biker political activist dildos who are being used by Goldman Sachs to fuck everybody over in our part of town. Because, you know, as I've gotten involved in the local politics, I've made some enemies, man. There are some people that really fucking hate my guts now. And my car is pretty easy to see. It's pretty easy to find. I've been living in the same place for 13 years, and I'm a soft target. You know, I'm a soft target. It's pretty trippy with this shit. And I don't understand. Like, dude, has this happened to you?
And now I have to assume it's associated with the radio shows because of the timing. But a while ago, I think it was last summer, it was shortly after my website got hacked, somebody splashed blue paint all over my car one night. I came home. Everything was fine. My wife, like, has taken the dogs out the next day. She's like, what the hell happened? And it looked like somebody just took a can of paint and dropped it on the back of my car, which is like a maroon color. And it was dark blue paint.
Oh, that sucked.
And so, you know, for insurance reasons, we had to call the cops and file a report. And it was like, well, I pissed somebody off. Somebody was like, fuck this guy, and we know where he lives.
That's a little bit about why I drive a beater. Taking a little tip from Roadhouse. You know, that's one of the reasons I don't drive a nice, shiny, new, beautiful car.
If we're pissing people off this much, we got our fingers on the right nerve endings.
Yeah, and you know, I give you guys a lot of shit. I give, when I say you guys, the audience members, I know I'm beating up on you guys a bit, but you need some beating on. You know, we got to make some changes here. I feel like we are the ones that are going to do it, because change comes from us, guys. Major change comes from the people. It doesn't come from the established status quo, the established power structure. It's really up to us to make these changes. Now, we've managed to change the tide quite a bit on the idea of medical marijuana. We're finding more and more states are making it legal. My own state, where I'm from, of Illinois, just made it legal to have medical marijuana. I only wish it had happened soon enough so that my father would still be alive. You know, painkillers killed him. And that's a real problem in America. We got a real problem with being distracted and being sidetracked while they fuck us over and over again. So while you're sitting there arguing about what word you can or can't say, they're taking away your voting rights. So while you're sitting there and you're arguing about what word was nice or not nice to post on your Facebook, they're trying to put you onto bicycles and make you chained to your apartment. I mean, it's pretty bad, guys. They are doing an end run on us, and we have to make the change. We have got to make the change. And we can do it. We can do it. Part of my big talk at the beginning of this about the cancer is they didn't expect my wife to live. All right? I was dealing with some heavy, fucked up shit, and we survived it. Part of why I do this show is so other people who are beaten up and feel destroyed can see that, you know what, man? You can do it. You could survive this. You could change this. You can be better. You can be happier. You can crawl out of your own fucking grave, because I fucking did it. And I have beaten the man time in and time out, and I've outlasted him again and again and again. And if I fall down, that's all right, man. I'm going to get back up. If I get knocked the fuck out, it's all right. I'm going to get back up. It's all good, guys. And so if I'm getting hard on you, it's because I'm angry, and it's because I expect a lot. Because I expect a lot more out of my fellow Americans, because this is an amazing country. We have an amazing opportunity here. Look at what we have done by bringing rock and roll to the world. Martial arts have been around forever, but fucking MMA came down in America, baby. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we are the adolescents of this world, and we have to keep rocking it out there, and we have to keep trying, and we got to keep pushing, and we got to get past this cozy status quo-y bullshit they're trying to draw us into, you know? All this GMO, genetically modified foods, and you think, oh, well, gee, why would a genetically modified food be bad for me? Maybe because they used weird bacteria and they've got genetics from bacteria now cloned into the food you're supposed to be eating. Or maybe the food that you're supposed to be eating that has like good stuff in it, like, I don't know, magnesium. In the genetically modified food, there's almost no magnesium. You know, they're burying the facts in a lie. They're selling you a Domino's Pizza Hut loaded with pepperoni, loaded with all the freebie shit you want, but it's literally made of shit. They're selling you a shit burger. And we can change these things. You know, you can go get on your local school board and have a chance to affect the young minds that come through that school. You can get yourself elected to your local neighborhood city council. You can get yourself involved in the governance in your own yard. You guys can do this. You can stop the cancer. We can stop this NSA spying shit. We can. We can totally fucking stop it. We make the laws in this fucking country, and we are the ones that have to do it. I'm going to come back to this again and again. It's part of my mission up here. You know, I mean, Josh, are you just doing this shit to complain, or do you want to see a change?
I want to see a change. I don't know if I consider myself an activist, although I've been called such. I don't know. I think I'm just kind of a loudmouth with a forum. But
I would call you a pundit at this point. Since I've actually gotten politically involved, I'm more of a pain in the ass, but I would call you a pundit.
I'm not sure if that's an insult or not, because normally I'm the one bitching about pundits, but I do want to see a change. That's one of the reasons I bitch so much about this stuff. Even people complain about on Radiodrome. All I ever do is complain about what's wrong with Hollywood and what's wrong with movies. Why don't I ever talk about what I like? Because if I like it, then they're doing it right. I think I can change Hollywood and force them to be better. Same thing with the political process. I think it's my duty to help force it to be better.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird, dude. I didn't expect this. I doing this radio show, I had no fucking idea we'd have so many phone troubles. I had no idea we'd have all these Skype problems. You know, when I got involved in my local politics here, involving them, they're trying to remove car lanes from the busiest streets, blah, blah, blah. Long-term listeners are bored of me talking about this shit. But it's all a fucking scam. It's all a fucking ripoff. And it would have impacted my wife's life, because as a cancer survivor, she's got some issues with one of her legs, and it's swollen up bigger than the other one. So it's hard for her to ride a bike around town. So when I see these assholes saying, you know, oh, we want to put a bike lane in for 1% of the traffic, and we want the other 99% to be delayed or have their lives impacted on. Like my wife, she can't use these bicycle lanes. She's not going to be doing it. Can't do it. And neither can a lot of the elderly, or if, let's say, I twist out my knee in jiu-jitsu, I'm not going to be doing it either. And it's not realistic. And these people... It's just, I don't know, man. They've done such a good job at turning us against each other, at making us fight our partners. This stuff I see in the media with the way they portray men and women in their relationships. You know, I watched Joe Dante's The Hole, his last horror film, and it's more of a kid horror film. But you know what I really liked in this film, Josh? I'm going to give you, just take a flying fucking guess.
I have not seen the movie, so I'm not sure. I really can't guess on this one. I haven't seen The Hole yet.
The Hole, it you know, it's kids, they find a hole in their basement, and it leads to someplace spooky, and it's the brother, his little brother, and the girl next door. And you know what I liked? They fucking worked together. They didn't spy on each other. They didn't sit there and bicker the whole movie. The girl didn't get a baseball bat and beat up his car. You know what I'm saying? Like, they worked together, and they solved the mystery, and they had real conversations with each other, and it wasn't this weird bickering back and forth, nonstop, ball busting, tit gouging, fucking bullshit that seems to be the modern discourse. Because it seems to me like on television, every cop show has got a castrating chick who jumps to conclusions, who doesn't treat anybody right, who always knows best, even when they're shown they're wrong. I mean, it's this weird. There's this weird castration happening in this country. I call it the castration of the modern American male. It's the nonstop castration of the modern American male. It started off, you know, my father grew up in the TV shows where father knew best. Father knew what the fuck was going on. Dad had a plan. Dad's coming to the rescue. It's going to be all right. Now it's dad's a fucking retard. Dad's a fucking dummy. Dad's a fucking fat slob. And you can't believe hottie mommy's even with him. It's disgusting, dude. It's disgusting. It's this nonstop portrayal of us as bimbos and boobs and shredder and your fucking wife, and you're working and you don't have time to deal with that. Don't fucking answer it. You're fucking busy. You'll get back to them later. That's what men do. They fucking handle the sitting on your ass doing nothing, sitting on your ass while your wife slowly takes away your testicles one fucking chunk at a time. And dudes, it goes for you too. If you're a fucking dude and you have gone through your wife's cell phone spying on her, you're a weak piece of shit. Ladies, if you have gone through your man's cell phone, you are a weak piece of shit. If you're reading your partner's emails, You are a weak piece of shit, and that's why the NSA is spying on us, because it's a reflection of us. Our government is a reflection of you and me and my neighbors and all the other Americans in this country. It is a reflection, and we can change the reflection. We can get a new fucking haircut. When I talk about this, the deballing, yeah, well, it's fucking true, because you got to respect your partner, and your partner has to respect you. And this is part of what I mean with the governance. It's part of what I mean with the politics in your back door. You can't lie to each other's face. You got to stop that shit. You got to stop with the playing and the bullshit. Get down to the real things. I mean, that was something that my wife's cancer really helped me with, is it helped me really put shit in perspective. Who's important? What is important? What is my priority? And the same for her. She had to really look at her friends and the people in her life and go, who's making me feel good? Who's making me feel bad? Who's actually there? Who actually returns my calls? You know what I mean? And it's time for us to do that on a massive fucking scale. We're on the cusp of something really big here, guys. There's some major shit happening in this country, and we really have to be on top of it. We really could easily descend into a Nazi Germany Fourth Reich, because it's really heading there. The Fourth Reich is here, guys. It's happening right in front of us. And we're all too busy arguing about what words not supposed to be said where, while they fuck you, while they fuck you again and again. Well, you know what? This is Heart Attack, and we do the fucking here.
The speaker was an angel. He coughed and shook his crumpled wings, closed his eyes and moved his lips. This time we should be going.
Attack is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.